lesson this morning is entitled Built by Jesus, Building for Jesus. We need to think about just how important building is. Most of the things that we see every day have been built. The Hebrew writer says, every house is built by some man, but the builder of all things is God. What we don't often realize is just how much that applies to us as human beings as well. We've been built, in a sense. Oh yes, I know physically our building blocks, the DNA that makes us up, came from our parents, our father and our mother. And that we were built in the womb, physically. And of course God adding the soul, the spirit that made us alive to make that human being. But we also need to understand that in a spiritual sense, after birth, we continue to be built, not just in the physical way as we grow to adulthood, but we're built all throughout our lives, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. And we see that a variety of people influence the way we're built. Different ones build upon us. We had that foundation at birth, but then not only our parents, but also our friends, our teachers, people that we went to school with, people that we worked with, people at church with us, continue to build us. And different ones will build different aspects of our character. We all need, even though we say, well, I'm grown. I can't be built anymore. Well, physically we may be grown, but spiritually we continue to mature as long as we live. Emotionally and intellectually we can continue to grow. We can continue to be built up as long as we live. So we need to think about that as we think about friends who build. We talked about a couple of weeks ago that we were going to have this series of lessons on friendships. And we talked about the fact that there are 8 different aspects to friendship. The first of these is the builder. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 that was read to us just a little bit ago. As iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of a man is sharpened by his friend. A man sharpens the countenance of his friend. In other words, we are built. We are sharpened. We are made better because of certain friendships. Now, you probably know which friendships you have that help you in that way. We all need to be sharpened sometimes. We feel dull at times, and we need somebody to build us up, don't we?
Amen.
And sometimes we have a friend who may be down who needs to be built up. Some of us aren't very good under those circumstances. We just don't know how to build somebody else up. That may not be our talent. That may not be our gift. May not be our greatest skill. We may be able to do a lot of other things, but we may not be able to really build somebody up. If you are a builder, if you do help others to reach their full potential, help them grow, help them be built, then this lesson will apply to you. But if you aren't a builder, you still need people in your life who build you up. And perhaps you could even learn how to be a builder. Some of us may have some hidden talents that we didn't recognize, that we didn't realize. But we do all need to be sharpened. We all need to be built up. And as we think about the passage in Proverbs and we think about being sharpened, I think about the story that's told of the young man many, many years ago who went to get a job cutting trees. Of course, he came with his axe, and the foreman said, well, he said, we really don't need anybody else, but he said, I know times are hard and you need the job, and say, if you can do well today, then I'll hire you. I'll pay you for today, and if you do well, I'll hire you and you can keep on working. Well, the fellow went out and he chopped down more trees than anybody else. And the foreman said, wow, I'm going to hire this guy. He's doing a great job. And so he hired him, paid him for that day, and hired him and said, you know, I'll give you your weekly salary. come back tomorrow morning and work some more. And so the fellow came back the next day, and he still did well. He did as good as anybody else, but he didn't do as well as the first day. And he came back the next day, and he did a little bit less and a little bit less. And by the end of the week, he wasn't cutting down as many trees as anybody else. And the foreman came to him and he said, son, I don't know what the problem here is. That the first day you chopped down more trees than anybody else, and today you didn't chop down as many as anybody else. He said, what's the problem? He said, I don't know. He said, I even came an hour early today, and I've worked an hour later than everybody else to try to get more trees chopped, and I don't know why I'm slowing down. And the foreman looked at him and said, well, let me see your axe there. And he showed him his axe, and he said, son, have you been sharpening this axe? I didn't want to stop and take the time to sharpen the axe. I was so far behind. The foreman said, son, you need to sharpen that axe, or it's never going to cut down any trees. Well, that's the way it is with us too. We get dull, repeatedly hitting up against walls and barriers and temptations and struggles in life, and we get to the point where we just can't cut it anymore. And we need somebody to sharpen us, somebody to build us up. Well, let's look at then the text, the part of our lesson, what is a builder? As we think about people in our lives who build us up, this is, in a nutshell, what a builder is. Builders are great motivators. They're always pushing you toward the finish line. They continually invest in your development. And they genuinely want you to succeed. You know some people like that? They're constantly pushing you to do better. They know you've got it in you. They know you can succeed. You do better. And they want, oh, and they're so glad when you do succeed. Because they're on your side. They're not competing against you. They want you to succeed even if it means they have to go out on a limb for you. You ever known somebody who took a risk because they wanted you to have success? That's a builder. That's somebody who's trying to build you up. Builders are generous with their time, and they help you see your strengths and use them productively. When you want to think about how you can do more of what you already do well, these are the ones you need to talk to, the builder friends, the ones who will help you see your full potential. They're like the best coaches and managers of sports teams that always get more out of a team than is expected. You ever seen that? In some teams, you have all of the great talent, but they just keep losing. And you have another team, and everybody says, well, don't know anybody on that team. What? They're not any good. And yet they keep winning because somebody is motivating them and building them to reach their fullest potential. They're helping them to achieve great goals, even though they don't have as much talent maybe as someone else, because they have someone building them. These are the friends who lead you to achieve more and more each day. And great builders won't compete with you. They're not trying to overshadow you and overcome you. They're trying to build you up. They figure out how their talents can actually complement your talents so that you shine. Remember the song, I think it came from a movie, but it was a song, The Wind Beneath My Wings. You ever know somebody who's the wind beneath your wings? They lift you up and help you fly, and they don't get any of the glory. They're still in the shadows, and nobody knows what they've done for you. That's a builder. And you all know someone in your life who's like that. If not, you need somebody in your life like that, don't you? Oh, you know how great it would be to have somebody like that that helps you. Well, this is the person who will help you personally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, even physically, to reach your full potential. in your job, they'll help you to do better. In every aspect of life, they're going to be the ones who will help you. So what about these builders then? That's what a builder is. The person who pushes you. The person who drives you. The person who will go out on a limb for you to help you succeed. Well, who were some builders in the Bible? You ever think about some of the builders in the Bible? You might think, well, you know, Noah built an ark. Well, he went out on a limb for God when he did that, didn't he? So that God's plan could succeed. He was a builder. What about Solomon? Solomon built the temple. Boy, he was a builder, wasn't he? Built God a place where all the people could come and worship in Jerusalem. A place where people would think about God. He was a builder. When I think about builders, I think about one of the strongest builders throughout the Bible. One who never, ever talks about himself and glorifies himself. Do you know who I'm thinking of? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put this book together and yet did it from behind the scenes and never brags about himself. Never talks about how he's God. Equal with the Father and the Son. Never talks about that. Never brags about that. The only things that are said about the Spirit, for the most part, are things that Jesus said about the Spirit. How he was going to send the Comforter and how he was going to guide them into all truth. All those kinds of things that Jesus said to the apostles about the Spirit. The Spirit didn't brag about himself. He only said those things that the Father told him to say and to have put in. And yet, the things that he did throughout the Scriptures. He was a builder. And makes God look good, doesn't he? That was his goal. Well, of course, Jesus is a builder as well. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus was a builder. He was going to build something. Something that was going to last. A kingdom that was going to last forever. That's what Jesus was building. Think about one other builder, one that's one of my favorites, and that's Barnabas. Acts 4, verses 36 and 37, we read about Barnabas. His name actually is Joseph, who the apostles surnamed Barnabas. In other words, they gave him a nickname. They called him Barnabas. Why did they call him Barnabas? Well, the interpretation of Barnabas, the King James says, is the son of consolation. The New King James says, the son of encouragement. He was a builder. He consoled. He encouraged. He built others up. And you see that right when you meet him. There in verse 37, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He was helping build up the church. He was helping the church reach its full potential by giving of his own time and money. Later on, we see him giving of his time as he went on missionary journeys all over the area, the Mediterranean area. Going from town to town, giving of his time to help the church grow, to help the church get started in many of those cities. Look at what he did. He was also a builder of someone who is probably the most well-known Bible characters aside in the New Testament aside from Jesus. And who would that be? You know, Paul. Everybody knows the Apostle Paul. Everybody's heard of him. Some people try to put him up there with Jesus. They name their church St. Paul, instead of naming it after Christ. They name it after Paul. That's how well known he is. And that's what an important figure was. You realize he wrote half of the New Testament? He wrote half of the New Testament. 13, possibly 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament he wrote. He wrote a lot of those. And he went on these missionary journeys. He stood before kings. But you know, he never would have been able to do any of it without Barnabas. Notice what happened in Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 and 27. This is just after Saul was converted. So then when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But he was going to go meet with the church. But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, if it ended right there, that's the end of Saul's career as an apostle, isn't it? The church, they wouldn't accept him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. They didn't believe he was a Christian. They thought it was some sort of underhanded trick to get in there so he could persecute some more of them like he'd been doing before. But there was a builder who was willing to go out on a limb to help someone succeed. Verse 27 says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Barnabas put his reputation at stake. It was a big risk. They could have rejected him too. But he went out on a limb for Paul. For Saul, at this time, as he was known. And so it was that friendship began. And Barnabas and Saul spent time together. They did things together. They went places together. Acts 11, it says, the church sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he had come, he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with that purpose of heart to plead to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So he was building the church. Barnabas was working. But then it says in verse 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul." Saul had gone back home. Now, I don't know what Saul was doing, whether he was giving up or whether he was just going to go be part of his local church back there in Tarsus or what. But Barnabas went and sought him out. And verse 26 says, "When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Barnabas went and got Saul to bring him so he could be a part of that. And then in Acts 15, shortly after that, Paul and Barnabas go on their first missionary journey. And you notice at first it's Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. But then somewhere along the way in there, you start to see it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Paul began to overshadow Barnabas. As great as all these things that Barnabas had done were, Paul began to rise. He began to reach his full potential, and Barnabas began to step back into the shadows a little bit. And then in chapter 15, Barnabas is ready to take on another project. And Paul doesn't want to take that project on. So Barnabas says, "Well, you're on your own now. I've got something else to do." Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, they were going to go back on another missionary journey. They were going to go back and visit all the churches that they had helped to establish, helped to plant. They were going to see how they were doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, whose surname was Mark. He wanted to take John Mark. But Paul didn't think it was a good idea, because he had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. The first time. John Mark had started out on the trip the first time, but he quit. And so Paul said, "No, we don't want to take him again." But here's Barnabas the builder again. He sees some potential in John Mark. He sees that this guy can be built up and he can do more than he's doing too. And so they had the contention between them. They departed from one another. And Barnabas took Mark and he sailed to Cyprus. And we don't read a whole lot more about Barnabas and Mark after this. But I'll tell you two things that'll make you understand just what a good builder Barnabas was and how important it was. We don't read about Barnabas at all throughout the rest of the New Testament. As far as we know, he never wrote any of the books or did anything else of great importance beyond this. But I'm sure he did. It just wasn't recorded. And here's how I think I know he did more. He continued as long as he was living, I think, to serve God and do this building. And here's how. Two things. Number one, later on, Paul asked for John Mark to be sent to him because he's a great comfort to him. Barnabas had built John Mark up to the point where Paul no longer thought of him as a weakness, but as a strength. And secondly, you know what the second book of the New Testament is? Mark. John Mark wrote that book. Most people believe that he wrote it as the penman for the Apostle Peter. But nonetheless, he wrote that book, Mark. And it was included in the Scriptures. There's somebody being built up, reaching their full potential. What if they had said, oh, you left the first time, we don't want you anymore. What if Paul had won out there? What if John Mark had never been built up? Don't give up on somebody just because someone else doesn't think it's worth the time. Barnabas saw that it was worth, and he built him up. And what about Jesus? How has Jesus built me up? Jesus took us while we were sinners. While we were in rebellion to God. And He reconciled us to God. He takes us when we fall down, when we sin, and He says, I know your human weakness. And I know you can do better. Look what He did for Peter. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Now Peter had denied Jesus three times just a few short days before this. And how easy it would have been for Jesus to have just said, it's a lost cause. Peter is a quitter. He's a coward. He won't do what's right. And when he's faced with persecution, he runs away and he denies me. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. And then he asked him the second time, lovest thou me? And he said, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed them. In other words, I'm not giving up on you. You keep doing what you need to do. You keep feeding them. You keep taking care of the sheep. Third time he asked him, do you love me? Peter was grieved. And the reason Peter was grieved is because this doesn't show up in the English. I know we've talked about this before. Some may not have been here. In the Greek language, there are several different words for love. There's the word for an unconditional love. That's agape. That's what Jesus asked him about the first two times. But Peter couldn't come up to that level. Peter said, well, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. I love you phileo. He couldn't come up to the level of unconditional agape love. And so the third time Jesus, this is what a builder does. If you can't reach their level, they're going to come down to your level and help you get up to their level. You know, they're gonna reach down and take you by the hand and pull you up there. So Jesus comes back down to Peter's level and he says, Peter, do you love me with a brotherly love, phileo? And Peter said, oh. And now Peter was saddened because he knew that Jesus wanted him to reach that higher level. Jesus wanted an agape love and he just wasn't ready to give that. Later on, I think Peter reached that level, but he wasn't there yet. And that's one of the things we have to understand, that it takes time to build and to grow. But here, Peter was grieved when Jesus said the third time, do you love me with a brotherly love? But he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you with that brotherly love, phileo. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So it's interesting, even though Peter wasn't ready to reach the level that Jesus wanted him to reach, Jesus still loved him and still had a job for him and still was willing to work with him until he could reach that level. We need to understand how much Jesus does for us. He works with us. He's patient with us. He's loving and kind. He understands our human frailties and weaknesses. But while he's not willing to just give up on us, he also is not willing to allow us to continue at that lower level. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be built up. And he wants to help build us up. So how has Jesus helped build you up? I can think of the ways that he has helped to build me up. I think of the things that he's done in my life. I think about the way he brought Dawn into my life at a time when I needed some building up. And the encouragement that she was to me to keep living the way I should live and to do better and to grow. To think more about spiritual things than I was. I was a freshman in college. I was like a lot of freshmen in college who were just getting away from home. I thought, good time to just have fun and enjoy life. But she got me thinking about some more serious things in my life. And we need to think about how he's built us up. Ephesians 2 and verse 20 and 22 talks about the church. It says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So Jesus is, when he said, I will build my church, he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about us. He's building us. He's building us into a house for God. And what part of that house are you going to be? He's the foundation. But there's plenty of room for the rest of us to be built in his house. Well, how can I build for Jesus? What can I do? He's done so much for me. He has built me up from being on my way to hell to being on my way to heaven. That's a big shift. That's a big change. But that's what he's done for me. What can I do for him? 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." What's that foundation? Jesus Christ, along with the apostles and prophets and the teachings of those apostles and prophets. That's the foundation. "And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon." So the foundation is laid for the church. But Jesus still needs builders. And he still needs us to be builders for him. We can build on that foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, he says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble," whatever we're building with, we may be building with different degrees of faith in people, different qualities, different abilities, whatever we're building on, he says we need to take care how we build. But we need to be building up the church. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, he says, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." God will reward us when we build up the church. And when that building that we do, when we've built up the church and that work that we've done, if it continues. You know, we know a lot of the work that we've done, a lot of the people that we reach out to and try to get, sometimes they fall away, never to come back. But others remain. They abide in the church. We need to be striving toward helping others to be a part of the family of God, a part of the household of God. We're to be builders because Jesus was a builder. God is a builder. Well, he said that the builder and maker of all things is God. And we're looking forward to a heavenly home. One that is better than here. Hebrews 11 and 10, talking about Abraham, I believe, he says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for that city. That holy city. That heavenly city. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that as a final resting place. A final place to live. But we need to understand how important our building is. Galatians 2:8 says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He had been a sinner. But he had come to Christ. And he says, now if I go back and start building those things up, then I'm going to be a sinner again. But on the other hand, as well, even though he doesn't mention this, when you think, if we're building things up and then we start to tear them down, then we've become a transgressor as well. We don't need to tear down what we're working on. And we don't need to tear down what other people are building up. We said earlier, you may or may not be one of these builders. Maybe that's not your skill. Maybe you have a different skill. We're going to look at seven other aspects. You'll find one that fits you at least. But if you're not a builder, at least don't be a destroyer. Don't tear down the things that others have built. Colossians 2:7 says that we're to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then Jude 1:20 tells us another way that we can build ourselves up. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to be praying. And we need to be building ourselves up on our faith. And we need to be building, the term building up yourselves. We need to be building each other up as much as we possibly can. So how can I build for Jesus? I can do it by teaching, by helping to establish myself and others in the faith, and through prayer. I can do that in all those ways. Jesus will find builders. Whether we're one of those builders or not is the question. You willing to be a builder for Jesus? He's willing to be a friend to you and help build you up. He's already shown that. He came and, you want to talk about going out on a limb, literally, He put His two arms out on a tree limb on that cross for you. He risked His physical life. With the possibility, you know, when He left heaven and came to earth, there was the possibility that through the temptation, He could have fallen. He could have sinned and never been worthy of heaven again. He took that risk to build you up. What are you willing to do for Him? You know, when you have a friend who's willing to risk so much for you, you'd be willing to do some things for them too, wouldn't you? Well, what about Jesus? What are you willing to do for Him? He died for you. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you've said you don't care what sacrifice He made. You don't care what risks He took. It wasn't important to you. It doesn't matter to you. Don't say that. Show Him that you do care about the risks that He took for you by being obedient to Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and willing to confess that fact, you can be buried with Him in baptism today to have your sins washed away. And then you can begin walking a new life and begin building for Jesus instead of tearing things down. You can build for Jesus instead of building for Satan. You can do what Saul did. You can turn your life around. He was one who was persecuting the church. He turned it around and went the other way. And with the help of Barnabas and Jesus, he began to build the church then. We'll help you any way we can. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been building for Jesus, you need to do what you can for Him. He's done so much for you. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.